The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Dr. Ben Carson, keynote speaker at the 2013 National Prayer Breakfast, shares what he believes makes America great.
You know, a lot of people say, you're a doctor, you ought to mind your own business. You have no business talking about taxes and economics. You know, you only should stick to doctoring. And what I always say to them is, it's not brain surgery, you know?
I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever been more excited to have a guest than we have all this week, Dr. Ben Carson. I'm James Robison, welcoming you to Life Today, and I promise you, you are going to get a whole lot of life today and all week as we talk to this wonderful, gifted neurosurgeon who has wisdom for which we're grateful. If you've not read and don't ask for it every week, I hope you'll begin now, jamesrobison.net. I don't have a middle end, so you spell it right and go there. But ask for my commentary to be sent. It comes every Friday morning, and I touch on issues. You can go to jamesrobison.net and scroll back through the columns and read about this breath of fresh air, because that is precisely what he is. And then encourage your friends to read the commentaries, all of them, because I'm touching the issues most of us are concerned about, I believe God's concerned about. Are we going to join the continuing discussion that Betty and I had with a great neurosurgeon and great, bright breath of fresh air, wonderful man, Dr. Ben Carson. I have heard the question that people won't answer. There are many of them that won't answer, and you've always been so open to answer them. Not like you even think you really might have the answer. Right. You at least care. Yeah. How is it that a neurosurgeon suddenly seems, at whatever point, and I know for a fact, this wasn't the first prayer breakfast he spoke at. He spoke at another one. And by the way, they didn't get an advance copy of that one either. And he spoke about character and leadership and conviction with Mr. Clinton sitting right to his right before the scandal broke worldwide. But he never wavered. And he's speaking the truth. What in the world led you to focus not only your attention on assisting those in need, and as you just described, the most important part perhaps of what happens in a person's life. Why did you focus on what's going on in the country? What difference did it make?
Well, it makes a huge difference because as a physician, I'm very interested in healing the organism. But it doesn't do any good to heal the organism and then put them into an environment that's sick because they'll be right back there. And so you're taking care of these wonderful little children, but then putting them back into an environment where their future is in jeopardy. And, you know, I like to look at the big picture here. You know, a lot of people say, you're a doctor, you ought to mind your own business. You have no business talking about taxes and economics. You know, you only should stick to doctoring. And what I always say to them is, it's not brain surgery. You know? But you know, we do need to heal that environment. We need to make sure that the people in the next generation have the same opportunities that we had. And we can't do that when we're destroying the economic foundation of our nation. You know, you have a very, very powerful nation. How do you bring them down? Believe me, our enemies have asked that question. You know, the Romans were in the same situation, extraordinarily powerful militarily. No one could challenge them. But, you know, through their military expansionism, they began to strain their budgets. They couldn't figure out how they were going to take care of all this. They started coming up with all kinds of schemes and accusations in order to be able to take money, particularly from the rich. They destroyed the underpinnings of their society, and they destroyed themselves from within. And if you were trying to destroy America, how would you destroy America? You probably would not be able to do it with bombs and missiles. But how about destroying the economic infrastructure mm-hmm. of America? And this is something that we have to be careful that we do not allow to occur. And, you know, I'm not accusing anybody of trying to destroy America by destroying our infrastructure, but I'm just saying, if I were trying to do it, that's how I would do it.
Doesn't that infrastructure have to begin in the home, don't you think? Because we hear so much about education, and we need to always be improving our education, the public education. But to me, that education needs to start with the foundation in the home and the principles and to prepare your children to go.
Absolutely. The values mm-hmm. that a child receives at home are the ones that provide that child with their identity. Mm-hmm. All children look for a basis for their identity. And if they don't get it from home, they're going to get it from someplace else. Too often, it's with peer groups and negative peer groups. And now we also have layered on top of that political correctness. Political correctness is rampant, particularly in our schools. You can't mention God. You know, we have a scholarship program, and, you know, our theme is think big, and we put these banners up, and each letter means something special. The G is for God, and some people said, you can't put that up. In fact, some lawyers came to us, and they said, you can't put a think big banner up in a public school because the G stands for God, and that violates the First Amendment, separation of church and state, and we can't have any government-sponsored religion. Well, I reminded them that the First Amendment also says you can have no government suppression of religious expression. So we had a rather vigorous argument. And I suggested that we resolve it at the level of the Supreme Court, which seems bold and reckless, but it really wasn't, because I knew the next week I was going to the Supreme Court to receive the Jefferson Award. So I figured I would ask while I was there. And I did. And just as Sandra Day O'Connor said, they were all wet. Of course, that was not a violation of the First Amendment or anything to do with the Constitution. And of course, you could put it up there. And, you know, people who come up with this silly stuff, what do they know? And they try to tell us that the people who founded this country were not really God-fearing people, that they were deist people who believed that God just put things in motion and left everything. All you have to do is go back and look at some of the letters and the prayers of George Washington. Mm-hmm. Look at what Thomas Jefferson said, James Madison, John Adams, Sam Adams. Look at all of these people. And look at their writings. That's why we included specific quotes in the book, America the Beautiful, so that you could see what these people said themselves. And you can't come up with that stuff when you see it right there in writing. And we need to believe. Don't buy the people who try to rewrite our history. The fact of the matter is, this is a Judeo-Christian nation. We have Judeo-Christian values. We care about each other, and we need to emphasize the godly principles of loving your fellow man, caring about your neighbor, developing your God-given talents to their utmost, having values and principles that govern your life. And if we do that, we will maintain our position in the world, and we will truly live up to our creed of one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And if you understand those Judeo-Christian principles and the power and reality of legitimate biblical faith, you know you don't and you can't impose that on anyone, nor can you or will you allow it to be disregarded or discarded.
Exactly.
Because you stand unshakably on the unshakable foundation of absolute truth, and you build on those principles. And our nation did that. I thought it's interesting in your book.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic book. I just want to say with all my heart, I pray you read every word of it. I pray that you encourage everyone else to read it, that you discuss it, because it's simply transforming truth. Truth transforms.
Absolutely.
Truth sets us free, not somebody's opinion of truth. Truth sets us free, and we do have a perfect demonstration of truth in action
right.
in the person Jesus Christ, the central figure in human history on which the very calendar basically
Absolutely.
Evolves. But listen to what you said here of one of our founders. when they were facing extremely difficult times, coming out with an understanding of a foundation, a platform, that was going to be bigger than any one of them, but necessary for, with all their diversity, the depth of conviction, all their diverse ethnicity, and all of their credentials, they would still have to come down on something much larger than any one of them, and depended upon every one of them arriving at that same point. Now, you would say that's a miracle.
Absolutely.
You know, we talk about the power of one. We have a great teacher that I referenced a moment ago named Jesus who understood, but we don't, the power of oneness, where the parts fit together. Right. Each member submitting ultimately to the head so that you can literally reveal the greatness. The one who demonstrated and illustrated it was Jesus. So we do know what it looks like in action. We have a perfect example, and we understand that. And really and truly, so many of you who are listening to us say you understand it, but you see, you have actually put religion. And by the way, let's mention this man Jesus we just commented about and complimented. His real problem was, and the ones who brought him to the end of his life here, they couldn't really stop it because it's forever, but it was the government and religion that embraced, endorsed, encouraged, and accomplished the death. Throughout history, the greatest opposition to Father God, Creator God, truth of God, the absolute government,
and
religion.
False religion.
False religion that doesn't understand Father God, Creator God. Those are the two biggest problems. But I want to say to those of you who are really convinced you really know the truth, don't treat a relationship with God like a membership in some lodge or civic club or some organization. This is a relationship with a living God, born into a family of God. And you don't just go to church, you are the church. You don't just discuss God, you demonstrate God. Listen to what Benjamin Franklin said, and he wasn't actually complimented by even theologians who are very serious about the Bible as being one of the giant, you know, spiritual people at that assembly. But listen to what he said. In this situation of our assembly groping as if it were in the dark to find political truth and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of lights to illuminate our understanding? Wouldn't that just be a wonderful something for somebody to stand up and say to Congress and to say to everybody in America? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room. This is this non-spiritual leader, Benjamin Franklin. Every now and then I get a little bit more zealous than you do. Forgive me. Sometimes, you know, I can really sound like I'm the pastor of a black church. And they have told me many times, man, you're the best preaching white man I ever heard. I can't help it, so pray for me. Maybe you can minister to me. But we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. And by the way, you illustrate this explicitly, not only with Washington, but also the comments of the enemy, including the Indians, who kept him as the primary focal point of every attempt to kill him, and they couldn't.
Couldn't do it.
And they said the Great Spirit protected him. They couldn't kill him. God had a reason for him. And by the way, he didn't run for president. He was pushed into it. It wasn't something he was seeking. God, give us some more people like that who are just leaders. You don't have to decide they are. They don't have to tell you they are. You can see they are. And he says, we have observed the frequent instances of the superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity for consulting a peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? This is Franklin. This is not Billy Graham. Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God's notice, his notice, it is probable, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We had been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our partial local interest, our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves have become a reproach and a byword down to the future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter from this unfortunate instance despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service. Do you think we need this again today?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I am, and you'll be with a lot of preachers, and you'll be with a lot of conservative and liberal talk show hosts who will actually seem to present a message and a picture of hopelessness. I got to be honest with you. Yeah. I not only believe in the blessed hope, I believe we have hope. Yeah. And I believe if we'll look to that hope, I believe the future is bright, not dim, but I think we've got to be a light. How do you feel about the future? Do you think it's hopeless, dismal, or how do you feel?
Well, I think if we listen to what Benjamin Franklin said and some of our other leaders, I think the hope is extraordinarily bright. I think God blessed this nation because we had God-fearing men who were involved in our leadership, and they were people who were willing to sacrifice themselves. You look at somebody like John Hancock, who was an extraordinarily wealthy person. He was willing to give everything he had, you know, for this country. There were many people of that ilk. Benjamin Franklin developed a lot of wealth. He was willing to pay for the Boston Tea Party to assuage the anger of the British, you know, with his great fortune. There were all kinds of stories like that.
You do know it was politically incorrect for you to say that.
Of course.
We do have editorial discretion. We can't edit that out in order to maintain your dignity and your posture.
I tell you, I don't want to get into how much I dislike political correctness. Because I believe that it is an artificial muzzle that is placed on our society to keep us from discussing the pertinent changes that are going on in our value system while they are changed. And all of a sudden, we'll be somebody else and we won't even recognize who we are. And we do ourselves great disservice when we are unwilling to speak up for what we believe. But you know, Benjamin Franklin and these guys, that was the reason that we went from virtually nowhere to the pinnacle of the world in no time flat. That's the reason that Alexis de Tocqueville came here in 1831. Europeans were fascinated. How could a nation barely 50 years old already be competing with them on virtually every level? This is unprecedented. It's unheard of. And yet, it was going on. And, you know, he looked at our systems. He looked at our educational system, our government. In the end of his two-volume set, which is quite enlightening, he concluded, America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great.
True then when it was said, and true now. And America will cease to be good if we do not continue to trust God, and if we do not turn our hearts and minds back to God. Jesus said there is one good, and that is God. And the only way we're going to have goodness in us, genuine, unconditional love flowing from our heart, is to have God in us, His Spirit, His life, His love, absolutely essential. Dr. Ben Carson will be speaking on our anniversary conference, the 18th through the 20th of July. Go online, lifetoday.org. We will actually provide meals for you on site so that you can be in the afternoon, evening sessions, morning sessions, afternoon and evening. And hear Dr. Carson, many other great speakers like Andy Andrews, like Beth Moore, like Christine Kane, like Tony Evans, like Robert Morris, our pastor. I'll be speaking. Governor Huckabee, who worked here with us for 4 years, he was like our pastor, Robert Morris. He kind of grew up with the ministry, kind of our kids, you might say, in the Lord. And Dr. Carson will bless you as the others will. Don't miss it. Dr. Sammy Rodriguez is going to be also speaking. What a week it's going to be. Go online, make reservations, plan to come. If you don't plan to eat with us, there's a small registration fee. You must register, and the building will be filled with people who love God and love this country. Now, I want to show you something that I think is going to touch your heart, because the fact is, hearts will stop beating if we don't have love in our heart.
The beating of a heart. You can hear it. You can feel it. It's not often that you can see it. Meet Dominga and her two sisters. They represent countless numbers of children all across the continent of Africa. These three young girls show the early signs of severe malnutrition, hair turning orange, their skin deteriorating, bodies weak, at times lethargic. Her frame so frail, you can easily see Dominga's tender little heart doing all it can, fighting, pumping, to keep her alive. Dominga may be unaware that malnutrition is dragging her to death's door, but the beating of her heart counts down the days she may have left. If Dominga doesn't get enough food soon, her heart may be silenced. The solution is simple. Mission feeding saves lives.
Yes, it does. And the only way that we can keep those little hearts beating and actually reach them before they get to that critical state, to where it's touch and go, in either 24, 48 hours, we can lose them. But the miracle can still occur. But mission feeding, as you just heard, that's where we literally put the necessary nutritious ingredients, especially designed for that particular area of need. And we give them that porridge-like mix, and it turns everything around. In a matter of months, they're stabilized, their lives saved, their future secure. These beautiful bowls, they're heat resistant. In the bottom, it says life. That's precisely what is here, life. These bowls are an expression of love on the part of the viewers, just like you, who watch the children bring plastic bags, dirty, rusty cans, and when the hot porridge or soup mix went in, it would burn their little fingers. Sometimes they would hold those plastic bags and burn right through the bottom. And they would drop down in the dirt and start trying to get that soup up out of the dirt because they were desperate. You said, can't you give those precious little children bowls? The missionary said, no, we can't spend money on bowls when we've got to have food to save their lives. And our viewer said, we will. We love those children so much we'll not just give them food, but we're going to make it easier for them to get the food. They treasure those little bowls. It is a special gift of love that saves their lives, keeps their little hearts beating, gives them a future hope, gives them possibilities. We've taken people who were dying by the thousands, stabilized them, and showed them how to bring the old Portuguese farms back to life. The Portuguese left years ago from areas like Angola, but those farms were there. They just needed to be brought back to life. Now the people who were starving are growing food and feeding thousands of people themselves. They've learned how to live. We didn't just give them a fish. We taught them to fish. And it all starts with mission feeding. It saves lives. It gives lives. It gives them a future. I'm asking every person watching all over the world to go to the phone right now or go online, lifetoday.org. You can go there. Many people do that. I'm thankful you do. And you make the best gift you can because you're giving the greatest gift. You're giving life. Your gift of $30, $50, or $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. $1,000, we can feed 100. At whatever level you can help, please do so. Would you do it right now? Mission feeding saves lives. You're the reason we have mission feeding. You're the reason it's even possible and sustainable. Please don't put this off. Go right now and make the gift God has put on your heart. We have special gifts to bless you as you bless others with the greatest gift, the gift of life.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone. And without our help, many, like him, face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst drought and food shortage in years, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we would like to send you a good word for a great day, a 365-day devotional providing an inspirational new word, Bible verse, and promise for each new day. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request the Family Reading Bible, featuring easy-to-use reading tracks, questions, and fun facts to help engage your children in God's Word. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the 50th anniversary commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, I want to say thank you so much for your help. And this beautiful book, America the Beautiful by Dr. Carson, is now available in paperback. And I tell you, the publishers have had a hard time keeping up, but I'm glad. This contains so much of the same truths we shared in Indivisible, and it's written more in a story form. It's fabulous. If you'd like to have it, and you help us with mission feeding to save lives, you just ask for Dr. Carson's America the Beautiful, and we'll gladly send you the paperback version of it to say thank you for your gift, along with the other gifts. Thank you so much for your help.
James and Betty Robison, July 18th through the 20th for the Awaken Now Conference at Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, featuring inspiring speakers such as author and neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson, international Bible teacher and author Beth Moore, Pastor Robert Morris, author and speaker Christine King, and many more, including musical guests such as Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Register today for this once-in-a-lifetime event celebrating 50 years of ministry with James and Betty Robison. Go to lifetoday.org. Tomorrow, the full stretch of the human soul.
And I've got at one end ecstatic joy, and I've got the other end cast down.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.